Seaman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN at the 99.3 ESPN app. 2 hours in the books, two to go on a Thursday.
Hey, 19. Steely Dan.
Yeah.
Don't kid me. Pull Steely Dan out of his... Wow.
I was unaware that Chris had this capability.
I think Rick is texting him.
He's not.
Well, now Rick would go a little more...
I found a new folder.
A new folder?
Yeah.
It's like a new toy?
Yeah. Forgot I had it.
Really?
Yep.
What's the name of the folder? Cool music for Seaman and Shepherd?
Yacht Rock.
What?
Yacht Rock?
Oh.
Why do they call it Yacht Rock? Is it something you would listen to while you're like
sailing
away?
Yeah, like
away
this is very like on a boat.
Yeah.
Have a
Christopher
pina colada.
Cross, sail away.
Yeah. Right. Yep. Toto, Africa, that sort of thing.
Sailing to Africa?
No.
We got a text a moment ago on the Stony Brook Golf Club text line. It was just from 239. No, it wasn't. It was Seminole Nation. I'm sorry. No, it wasn't. I'm getting a lot of OJ texts. I'm getting them all confused. Anyway, one guy asked us if we would ever interview OJ if it were possible, and would our station allow it? We would do it in a New York minute.
Well, I think we would have to get permission.
From who?
People above us.
Why?
Oh, granted, it's like saying, it's the old adage, you know, would you, if you televised an execution, you know, say in Texas or something or whatever, mm-hmm. would you watch it or would you do it? And 99% of people said, yeah, I'd watch.
Oh.
I don't think I would.
I don't think I would.
But.
No, if OJ were available for an interview, I would do it. Now, I think we're past the point where you got to ask him, hey, did you do it? Because, you know, he's going to have his answer and. We all have our thoughts. Could have an interesting conversation with him.
What are you talking about?
What?
Who wouldn't allow that? OJ coming on this show?
Yeah, well, I said we wouldn't have
I
to ask for
maybe
permission.
Maybe we'd have to ask permission.
No. I don't know.
That'd be a done deal.
I don't think so.
I wouldn't even ask for permission. I'd just do it.
Just beg for forgiveness.
Exactly.
That's all you got to do.
Except his other...
And that's, but I'd do 4 hours if he'd do it.
But there can be, for some media outlets... Not saying it would be this one, but there would be some collateral damage. And by that, I mean, which is why you don't see him do, I mean, a pay-per-view thing is something, but you don't see, why don't you think you see him on a lot of radio and TV, especially radio interviews? Why do you think that is?
Oh, I think you're right about some media outlets.
But why do you think that is?
It's well,
a very
I know,
clear I don't think he wants
answer.
To do any.
No, I think it's a very clear-cut answer. I think a lot of sponsors would pull out. Because they would be, no. I'm not going on a station that promotes this double murderer. Ain't going to do it.
Well, we promote the double murderer.
Well, yeah. We have him on every day on Twitter.
We make to make fun of him. We make fun of him mostly. And
that's an interview you cannot turn down. Because every station in America,
yep.
Radio and television
they all
would
pick
play sound bites from it.
Yeah,
they all pick it up.
I'm just saying that
everybody would know who Seaman and Shepherd were.
I'd say there could be a price to pay. That's all.
Courtesy of WWCN-FM. Those are our call letters, Pete, in case you didn't know.
I know something like that. I just go by
WCCN.
WCCCN. WCCN.
All right. I love that. And,
we got a Twin Peaks Twitter poll to update.
Precipitation at 22%.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Let me update it real quick. Well, at 99.3 ESPN Radio, who will get their Mississippi school turned around first? Mike Leach with 63.4% of the vote right now. Lane Kiffin, the other, 36.6%.
In case you're joining us and you know Lane Kiffin, I'll wait till afterwards.
There we go.
Time now for a Sports Center Rundown. Here's Chris.
And if you're saying, wait, Chris, Mike Leach is at Washington State. You would be wrong, sir. He has signed with Mississippi State. Where is that? There we go. Mississippi State replacing Joe Moorhead. David Beckham's expansion, Inter Miami CF selected Clemson forward Robbie Robinson with the first overall pick in the 2020 MLS Super Draft today. Tonight on TNT, NBA doubleheader starts at 7. The Celtics in Philly taking on the Sixers. That is followed at 9:30 with OKC hosting the Rockets reunion CP3 James Harden.
Nice. did we just do an MLS Super Draft story? Is it that slow? Is it, what month is it? Is it June?
MLS Super Draft.
Well, hold on one second. I wouldn't put it
Is the season over?
No, yeah. Oh. It ended in November.
Did it start?
It starts up again in March. But I wouldn't, or April, I wouldn't put that in there if it were like Red Bull, right? New York Red Bull or NYCFC.
Right.
But I thought because it was a Miami team, there might be a small faction of people who are excited about the new Miami soccer club.
Okay.
And so I want to help them out a little bit.
Small faction.
Edson Cavani, the Uruguayan.
Yeah.
Got him from PSG. He signed with Miami. He's going to be the lead striker.
Yeah.
A little old, a little long in the tooth, but world-class talent.
All right. Now, who's the American that was in Tehran training somewhere and decided to leave because it was getting a little too hot down there?
What was that guy's? It was he plays in the Netherlands for Ajax.
Yes.
Or Ajax, how you guys
would call
it.
It's a clean
Ajax. Yes. That's right.
Yeah.
Ajax. Yeah, yes. His name is, and he's actually a big get for the U.S. men's national team, Sergino Dest.
Yeah.
And D-E-S-T.
They were doing their spring training in Iran?
Right. So a lot of, like, northern and eastern European soccer teams, they can't play their normal schedule this time of the year. It's just too cold, too much snow out.
Right.
So they take, like, two-month breaks in the middle of their season, and they'll go to Qatar, they'll go to the Middle East somewhere, and they'll train with their team.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ajax, the team who Sergino Dest played for, they were in Qatar.
Yes.
And amidst the whole Iran-U.S. conflict going on right now, he told his team, hey, I'm not comfortable being here in the Middle East.
Right.
Can I go back?
Right.
And they said, yeah, go ahead.
Wow. Good idea.
Yeah, go ahead.
Wow. Talking about sports that you can play due to weather, it's just going to be springtime pretty soon. Even though it's winter, the golf season is starting. Tiger Woods made his announcement that he will begin his 2020 season January 23rd. That's in 2 weeks at Torrey Pines. Very excited about that.
Well, there's a storm that's brewing that I saw today that's going to start like in Texas and go all the way through the Southeast to parts of the Midwest up to Maine. And the only area or a big chunk of the country is going to be affected by this, except here where the temperature is about 12 to 13 degrees above normal. Fantastic.
Is this a winter storm or a thunderstorm event?
It's going to be rain and snow depending on what part of the country, but it is a doozy.
Is it because of a cold front coming down?
I don't know. You're the meteorologist.
I haven't seen it yet because I didn't pay attention to it. I find it ironic how all the country is just getting blasted, and all of a sudden our temperature is going to be 20 degrees above normal.
It hasn't happened yet, but that's what I mean.
We'll be like 87 by tomorrow, I think.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's going to stay that way through the weekend. We're pushing 90.
There's such a beautiful breeze outside today. 75 degrees. Breezy. Tomorrow, 84, 87, 86, 87. It's Sunday, 85, 85. I mean, but the humidity is only at 50%. That's the difference.
Oh, that's the big diff right there.
Yeah.
Low humidity, hot temperatures, bring it on.
But this is our third winter down here, and at this point in the year, this is the warmest it's been, 87, 84.
Global warming, Pete Shepard, that's what they say.
Yeah, but last week it was
you'll never have a 60. Winter as cool as last winter and the one before it.
Well, it wasn't even a way. It was like 10 days, maybe.
Yeah, no doubt.
Fantastic. Yeah.
All right. So, Mike Leach, as we said, going to Mississippi State. That will be fun.
Oh, yeah. Here are some of the matchups you can look forward to. I went over these earlier, but it's worth repeating. So, here are some of the matchups in the SEC this next season. Saban versus Leach. Leach versus Malzahn. Kiffin versus Saban. Ogeron versus Leach. Ogeron versus Kiffin. Kiffin versus Malzahn, Leach versus Kiffin, Jimbo versus Leach, and Kiffin versus Jimbo. Oh, my God. And whether you're a fan of those guys or not, it still makes Mississippi State and Mississippi a reason to watch.
Oh, yeah.
There's no doubt. It does.
They were the bottom feeders. They were the has-beens. We got to fill out the schedule guys. And now, even they still may still be, but, I mean, my goodness, the personalities behind these coaches and that'll trickle down to recruiting. Now a kid's going to be excited to have a Lane Kiffin or a Mike Leach sitting in his living room representing Mississippi and Mississippi State. That's never happened.
Guess what Mississippi State's percentage was of throwing the ball last year? Take a guess. I would guess 60.
50.
39%.
Oh, my goodness.
They were three yards in a cloud of dust.
9%. So
did they have a lot of injuries at quarterback or something?
Major change coming at Mississippi State. You're going to see. I mean,
now we've already had early signing day. Can he get any people to chuck it to?
That's a problem.
I mean, it's going to take a while to get the.
Well, who knows with kids? I mean, I don't know who's going to emerge, but who can emerge? Who maybe is there waiting in the wings to emerge under a passing system? And Washington State, again, and he had the nation's top 10 passing offense 3 of the past 5 years and never ranked out of the top 10 with the Cougars. Hmm. So there's drastic changes coming to start. Man, those cowbells are going to be nuts. Well, I can't wait till he addresses that.
The cowbells?
Yeah.
He won't like it when he's on offense.
Well, he'll tell him to tone it down on offense.
Yeah, he will.
Defense only. He'll give you wedding
and
tips.
And I'm on the record. The matchup I'm looking forward to, at least the week leading up to the game, is LSU against Mississippi State. Ed Orgeron and Mike Leach giving a press conference about each other. I think that's gold.
It's gold, Jerry.
Now, there's some great other stuff out there. There's Kiffin and Saban. There will probably be some words there.
Yeah.
Probably.
Oh, this is just so good. We need to start our countdown to next college football season. I don't even care about Clemson LSU anymore on Monday night. Let's go. Count it down to next year.
I know.
I'm ready to go.
We just got to get some more characters in the SEC East for coaches, and this thing will be fixed. And Arkansas.
And you said Mississippi opens
Who's left?
Mississippi opens up in Arlington at the
against Baylor.
Against Baylor. That's going to be one of the early games that the whole country's going to see.
Yeah.
In a hypothetical fantasy, let's say we had a big name at every school in the SEC. How would we?
Who do we need to get back in? Like personality wise?
Yeah, I mean, we need to bring Urban Meyer back.
Yeah, Urban and Dabo got it. Urban. Dabo and Harbaugh need to be in the SEC.
Yeah.
Like, those are the three that would really.
But Dabo would only come if he was replacing Nick
at Alabama.
So he would lose one and gain another.
He says that's never going to happen.
Okay.
Please. Exactly.
Please.
All right. Get back to me on that one. Sticky pad.
It does set up. I mean, you look at the age of these coaches, right?
Yeah.
Jimbo going into year two of a 10-year deal. Ed Orgeron. Still early on in his coaching career at LSU.
Yes.
Two new guys in Mississippi. Like, Nick's not going to coach forever at Alabama.
Right.
It kind of opens up the door where once he leaves, maybe it doesn't just keep rolling in Tuscaloosa because there's so much other talent in the SEC West.
Wow. Could you imagine if we flip this thing 5, 6, 7 years from now, we're like Mississippi and Mississippi State are good. Nick retires. Yeah. Alabama's the gimme
Ole Miss
at the bottom
has
of the schedule.
On the schedule this week. That's a win.
Hey, remember, it wasn't too long ago, Mississippi was right up there beating Alabama back-to-back years. They're one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah.
We say that all the time, but from a couple, you know, not too long ago, you had Kansas and Missouri fighting it out.
You had
top spots.
What was it, USF?
USF.
And Rutgers.
Rutgers and Louisville.
In the top
Ray
three
Rice
at one point.
Then. Yeah. Yeah. USF for second, I think.
It's cyclical. It just always seems like the SEC doesn't cyclical. It's it might change campuses, but that's about it.
But those coaches' press conferences are going to be gold. Gold.
And
Jerry.
Twitter and social media. Yeah. I mean, Lane Kiffin never disappoints.
We played Mike Leach sound bites when he was in Pullman, Washington.
Yeah. Wait till we get him every week.
Get him in Stark Vegas, man, where the big lights are on him.
Stark Vegas? I like that. Stark Vegas. That's pretty good.
That's what they call it.
And Lane tweeted out to him already. I knew he would.
That's pretty good.
He said, by the way, the Washington Redskins have just named Doug Williams as their senior vice president of player development, reporting directly to head coach Ron Rivera. Mark Ingram is officially listed as questionable. But he is expected to play for the Ravens.
Adam Thielen suffering an ankle injury for the Vikings game.
Needed stitches.
Stephon Diggs. Yeah.
You get cleated, spiked? Must have, right?
Yeah.
How else would you need stitches? Hit a water sprinkler?
I can't imagine he hit a sprinkler.
I can't either. Unless
they're probably
did he hit something out of bounds?
They
got to
be practicing indoors.
Did he go out of bounds?
Turf.
And Lane Kiffin tweeted a couple hours ago to said, "Welcome to the state, old pirate and friend, at Coach Leach. Hashtag swing your sword. Hashtag Egg Bowl.
Swing your sword."
And then you got Sam up there in Arkansas.
Pittman?
Pittman. Thank you. I forgot his last name.
But he has.
He's forgettable. Nobody will remember.
He's an offensive line coach.
I told you. Today's the last day we'll discuss him.
He was associate coach as well.
He was the offensive line coach.
Under Kirby Smart.
Under the great Kirby Smart.
Great Kirby Smart.
Who?
Who's one of the top five coaches in the SEC right now.
He's
got no chance.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 5 days from now will be the third-ranked team in the country in the final AP poll.
Probably fourth. Ohio State showed well.
It's all irrelevant.
Ohio State showed well.
We'll see.
It's all irrelevant at this point.
Not really.
It's not irrelevant.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic. The only poll that counts is the one that gets the four irrelevant. In the playoffs. That's all we care about. Nobody ever looks at it after that, except who's number one.
Did I pick LSU, but I had the championship right. I
Clemson. You did. You had LSU beating Clemson. For the record, Craig, you had so you can still have your champion, Craig. You had Clemson beating Oklahoma. As we said, LSU beats Clemson. That's what Pete had. I had Clemson in the championship game. Had them losing to Georgia.
Came close. Came close. Do you have our NFL predictions?
Yeah, I do. Let me pull that real quick.
Not good.
Not good at all.
In all fairness, I think a lot of people would have been this far off going.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't want to lessen our credibility it was way off.
No, but I do think it'll be fun to run through these right here. Yeah. So at the beginning of the season, Craig thought this weekend's matchup in the AFC matchups would be Jacksonville at Kansas City and New England at Cleveland. Obviously, that was wrong. Yeah. In the NFC, Craig, you had Dallas in New Orleans.
I was way off on that.
Seattle at Philly.
That game actually took place.
Not bad.
Yeah,
not
just bad. A week earlier.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Pete, in the AFC this weekend, you had Jacksonville at Kansas City, Pittsburgh at New England. Mm-hmm. And in the NFC, you had Atlanta at Philly, Seattle at Chicago. Now to my great picks. AFC, not too bad, all things considered. Jacksonville at New England. I had Cleveland at Kansas City. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then my NFC. Chicago at Philly, Los Angeles at Atlanta.
Nobody made the – wait a minute. Say that again?
I had Chicago at Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Philly made the playoffs.
Yeah, they did make the playoffs.
And Los Angeles at Atlanta.
Well, I think
you
had
the one playoff team you got right – was what was their final record?
Philly
9-7, right?
They were 8-8, weren't they?
It was 8-8.
Yeah. No, but I am the only one with my champion still hanging out there.
Yeah.
Yep. Which Craig, you said that Drew Brees would get one on his way out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pete said that Tom would get one on his way out
against Philadelphia.
Against Philly, I said that we will usher in a new era of NFL football, the Patrick Mahomes era. I had Kansas City beating Atlanta. Yes, I had Atlanta in the Super Bowl.
How many of us had Baltimore in the playoffs? I thought I did at least have them in the playoffs.
No.
No, I think I did. I thought I picked three teams from that division
you did.
To get in.
You did. You had them as your sixth seed. You had Jacksonville beating them in Wild Card Weekend.
Oh, my God.
I stand corrected.
We all got duped by Jacksonville and Atlanta. A lot of people did.
I was so big on Atlanta at the beginning of the year.
I was big on Jacksonville because I thought their defense was still good enough, and I thought,
Foles was
find
the deal.
A way. Yeah.
They found their quarterback of the future.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just wasn't the guy you were thinking of.
Yeah, they did. No question. Are we all surprised that Doug Marrone is still a head coach there? I mean, that story changed every day. He's gone. He's back. He's gone. He's back. He's still there. So he and Mr. Mustache will start over next year.
Sorry, Philly was 9-7.
Thank you. Thought they were. Thought
okay.
That's correct.
How about this? Bruce Feldman from The Athletic. Yeah, real quick. Well, let's. You want to stay on this? You want to stay in the playoffs? But more about.
I was done.
Twist at Mississippi State. Interesting. Freshman quarterback Will Rogers arrived on campus the day after Joe Moorhead was fired. And now he gets to play in the system that was literally built for him. His dad, Wyatt, coached Gardner Minshew, and Leach was the only Power 5 coach besides Mississippi State to offer him a scholarship.
Nice.
How about that?
Maybe somebody knew something ahead of time. I don't know. Very interesting. And my favorite part of the whole Mike Leach story is they came to interview him in the Keys. He was at Key West vacationing. Yeah, I'll interview for that job. They'll probably pay me $8 million a year. But you got to come here to the Keys to come interview me. That's a pretty sweet setup. I'm not interrupting my vacation. Remember, Leach interviewed for Tennessee last year. I think Leach has wanted out of Washington. I think Washington State was just a landing place for Leach all along. He wanted to bounce out of there.
He was there for like 7 years, wasn't he?
I know, but I think he had an exit plan in mind.
Okay.
It was a stopgap. It's not the sexiest place to go. But he had some success early on with the passing game. And now, but look, if you're interviewing for Tennessee last year and taking Mississippi State this year, you want out of Washington State.
No, but Joe Judge was that close to going to Mississippi State. I mean, he was their guy.
Really?
He was the guy.
And we all like him now after hearing him at his press conference today.
Love him.
Love him.
Love him. And there was the whole Mike Leach throwing the kid in the shed for having a concussion thing.
Yeah. That was a Texas Tech.
I know. So maybe he had to just go to Pullman for a few years. People forget about that.
He had to rebuild his career a little bit.
And now we can go back to big boy football.
Yeah.
Because he had Texas Tech rolling.
Offensively.
Michael Crabtree.
Offensively.
Graham Harrell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those teams were stacked.
And more college football, those Mountain West. Now think about this. This is the Mountain West Conference football. They just inked a 6-year, $270 million deal between Fox and CBS. Both will have 23 football games each on CBS. This is Mountain West, mind you. Both will have 23 football games each. Then CBS SN can get up to 10 more games. Fox and FS1 have rights to Boise State home games. CBS has rights to Boise State road games. America, $270 million for Mountain West, 6 years.
So is it better to get $278 and be on CBS Sports Network and FS1 and FS2, or is it better to get like $225 from ESPN and maybe you get like an ESPN2 game here or there?
I was going to say, you're buried in ESPN.
But you're buried on CBS as well.
Well, but CBS is going to tell, not CBS SN, CBS has the rights to Boise State road games.
But they're not going to put Saturday nights.
No, you're right.
It'll be CBS Sports Network.
Yeah.
Maybe a game here or there if they're ever in like a top 25 where they could put a doubleheader on CBS and get ratings.
They can get up to, both will have 23 football games then on CBS Sports, and CBS Sports Network can get up to 10 more games. So, I mean, that's Mountain West. Hmm. Wow. That's a lot of money.
Sure is. Going up. All right, we'll continue to discuss that. Oh, one other fun fact. We're going to talk about college basketball in just a few minutes with Chris Spitola from ESPN. I saw an article today, it just came out about an hour ago. Zion did an interview where he's getting closer to coming back and playing his first game in the NBA. He said he absolutely wanted to return to Duke. Absolutely. He said the money, the NBA, that'll always be there. I wanted to come back to Duke.
Then why didn't he?
Mike Krzyzewski told him to beat it. So you can't turn this down. Go to the NBA. And his mom did, too. He said those were the two most influential. He says he was convinced, had to be convinced to go to the NBA. He wanted to come back and play college ball.
God, that would have been an ugly Carolina Duke game this year.
That's what it all comes down to for you. I knew that's exactly what you were going to say. And you're probably right.
It would have been hideous. I mean, what would the line in that game be? 20?
Maybe.
Tar Heels are awful.
Are you just
kind
of giving up on like the Tar Heels are like your second thing behind the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
And you've mailed in this season.
Yeah, look, man, I had such high expectations when they beat Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I was excited.
Mm-hmm.
Then Wofford. Then Virginia.
Well, Wofford twice now in 3 years.
So do you think they're gonna actually have this pot? I mean, you think that right now they wouldn't be an at-large team. They would have a tough time. They might have to win the ACC.
NIT written all over.
Florida State team, Duke, Louisville.
All that crap I talked to Craig last year about the NIT in Indiana. Come on.
We'll save it for you.
We got a long 4 months ahead of us, Chris. We'll get through it together, though. And then it's the Masters, which the promos have already started on ESPN.
Yeah.
That's good.
Easter Sunday, round 4.
Thing of beauty.
Get ready.
There's going to be so much pastel
round two,
out there.
Good Friday. Holy Saturday, round 3.
So I'll call you guys on Friday.
No, you won't.
Hey!
I think we should make...
Plus, we won't work. We're not working that Friday.
That was my point.
Oh, that's right. well, you even call Thursday. You're so unreliable.
No,
in 3 years, I think you're one and two. I think you called us
I called in once.
Once.
I remember because I left the course to call you guys, and I thought afterwards
but this,
that
this
was
year,
stupid.
This year was unbelievable. I mean, Pete and I were on every swing. We were into it. The audience was into it. Tiger Woods was a factor. We're going, we got Chris there. He's going to be calling us any minute now.
Nothing. No.
Time out.
Hold on. I told you guys what happened. There was a rain delay. I was following Tiger. I couldn't leave. I couldn't leave. I'm
you
sorry.
You could have. You could have.
I could have.
You didn't put the show first.
I did not.
Did you hear Joe Judge today?
Yes,
no
I
matter
did.
What's going on in your world,
I wouldn't work for the
no
Giants.
No matter what, you got to come in the building each day and put the team first. Did Chris do that?
No,
with
I did
and
not.
Shepherd?
No, I
no,
did not.
You did not.
It's like a mafia
Chris,
don. This
Chris
is your
put
real
Chris first.
Yeah. This is your real family. Forget this is your real family.
That's, unbelievable.
That's fair.
Unbelievable.
Guess what?
What?
I'd do it again.
No, you're not going to do it again. You're calling in this year.
Okay.
FaceTime. You don't have to say anything. Just FaceTime.
You can't bring your phone in.
Jeff Nixon called.
Oh, that's right.
Practice run.
No. He didn't call practice run. He called.
Oh, no. He left. He went out to his car.
He came out to call us.
Yeah.
He loves our show more than you do. Sorry. Facts are facts.
Love Jeff.
I love Jeff.
We all love Jeff. And I loved him even more when he bothered to call in on the show during the Masters. He was there. You were there. He called. You didn't.
There are two types of people in this world, Craig. Those who call into our show and those who don't.
Exactly.
I called in once.
Like 3 years ago. All right, Chris Spatola from ESPN covers college basketball. We got to figure out who the real number one is. Right now they say it's Gonzaga. I don't know. We'll talk to him.
They beat the Tar Heels by 14.
Everybody beats the Tar Heels. That's no big deal now. That's not a thing.
It's
anymore.
Not a thing.
It used to be a thing. Now it's not a thing. It's not even an upset anymore. Don't forget the NFL divisional round getting underway at 4 o'clock on Saturday. 49ers and Vikings followed by Titans and Ravens. You can catch all the NFL playoff action this weekend right here on 99.3 ESPN, brought to you by Twin Peaks. But we're talking college hoops next with Chris Spatola. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. We're going to talk a little college basketball here. And joining us right now is Chris Spatola from ESPN. He's been on before. Chris, welcome back. How are you?
How are you?
What's up, guys? I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on again.
Good. Who's actually the best team in the country? Because the polls so far have been worthless as far as number one goes.
Hell if I know. No. You know, I think it's probably Kansas. I think they are, to me, they're the most balanced, the deepest. I mean, look, their two losses are losses away from Fog Allen to top 20 teams, and it's by a total of 3 points. So, I mean, they're not, to me, they are right now playing the best. I do think Gonzaga is good. I saw them twice down at the Battle for Atlantis. I think Duke, if their freshmen can continue to develop the way they have, I think they'll certainly be in the mix. But it's been a cluster in college basketball this year. But if you're pinning me down, I'd have to say probably Kansas.
Well, you know, when you hear the least gifted team he's ever had, and you hear that from Roy Williams, and you saw North Carolina last night again, I thought they were going to snap out of it last night. They've been struggling, obviously. I think they missed their first 15 shots the other day against Georgia Tech over the weekend, and then had a 9-point lead last night that Pittsburgh just blew them off the floor. It seemed like they didn't even care. I've never seen a Carolina team play like this. And I know they're dinged up, and I know they're waiting for Cole to come back. But is it really just about him, or can the Tar Heels turn this around come tournament time?
No, I think people forget they weren't playing real well if with him in the lineup. Mm. You know, they've got a lot of fundamental issues, and you know it's interesting that Coach Williams would say that, because I always thought recruiting came back on the coach. You know, if you don't have good players, that's not their fault. You know, I mean It's interesting where North Carolina's at. They're playing two grad transfers, one of them from William & Mary, the other from Charleston Southern. I mean, whoever thought of the day that North Carolina, the school of Jordan and Vince Carter and the great Dean Smith, whoever thought they'd be playing two transfers, one from William & Mary and one from Charleston Southern. I mean, it just, you know, I think it's – and look, it's in part reflective of where college basketball is at. I think – there is so much talent leaving the game of college basketball at the end of every season to go to the NBA that these coaches are left to try to figure out how you plug those holes. And, you know, you need one of two things to win in college basketball. You need continuity, so you need players coming back into your program and get older and, you know, that whole get old, stay old adage. Or you have to have talent. Like Duke and Kentucky don't have continuity, but they have players coming in who are good players. So it's becoming, I think, harder and harder for coaches to figure out how to manage that. And I think some of that volatility, that roster volatility, has led to the turmoil that we're seeing at the top, where nobody can stay at that one position, or frankly, can't even stay in the top 10.
Chris, what were your expectations of Juwan Howard when he took over the Michigan program? And now that we're a little bit into the season, they're a top 20 team, what do you think so far?
Yeah, you know, I didn't really know what to expect, and I don't say that as a hedge. It's probably more of a negative. Like, I've been a little bit dubious of some of these hires that we've seen. You know, the Jerry Stackhouse at Vanderbilt, and then Juwan at Michigan. I was dubious of Patrick Ewing at Georgetown. It's just a different animal, you know, going, I think, from the NBA, especially a former NBA player into the college world. You know, I saw them twice, guys, down at the Battle for Atlantis that they ended up winning. And I'll tell you, there were two things that stood out to me. One, he was fortunate because he had some veteran guys coming back. Remember, this is a program that's had a great deal of success over the last few years. And so they had some guys coming back that I thought have helped ease the transition for Juwan. And then the other thing is, to Juwan's credit, he hasn't come in and said, I'm going to change what John Beilein was doing. He came in and he basically said, look, I'm going to allow these guys to kind of be who they are. This has been one of the best defensive programs in the country over the last few years. There is obviously John Beilein, a very good offensive teacher, so there's some DNA left over from that. I'm going to allow these guys to go out and do what they do. And so I think Juwan has done that. I think it shows a lot of security on his part. They did come back down to earth after winning the Battle for Atlantis, but and they're competing in, frankly, what I think is the best conference in the Big Ten. But they are old enough, and as they, I think, start to get healthy, you know, getting livers back and things like that, I think they have a chance to make a run in the tournament.
Chris, seen Florida State play a few games this year. They looked good last night, pulled away. You know, always tough to beat a conference opponent, but they pulled away. I think Vassell had 17 points. And this Florida State Seminole team, can they win the ACC when it's all said and done?
Absolutely, 100%. There's no question about it. To be honest, like, I would pick them right now as my favorite because I think Louisville's got some issues, and Louisville's not quite nearly as good as I thought they were going to be. Look, Duke has a higher ceiling, I think, than Florida State, but there's still a toughness level and some issues, I think, offensively that Duke's going to have to work through. I just love Florida State's depth. I love their depth. I love how hard they play. I love how athletic they are. I love that they're not relying on one guy to be that guy every night, like a Jordan Wara, who, even when he played well against Florida State still ended up kind of beating them pretty good. So I don't think we talk enough. I said this. I was up in studio in Bristol the other day after their Louisville win, and I said this after the game. I don't think we give them enough credit, that program and Leonard Hamilton, enough credit for the culture that he has there. Like, we talk about Texas Tech and Virginia and these cultures out there in the country, and we don't talk about Florida State. And this is a strength in numbers program. A lot of the faces change, but they come back with the same philosophy, the same defensive intensity, the same depth. And here we are again. Florida State's good. And I don't think we give them and Leonard Hamilton enough credit for that.
Talking with Chris Mottola from ESPN College Basketball here with Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. A few years back, Butler had that run a couple of years in a row, a couple 2-3 year dominant period, Final Fours with Brad Stevens. Then they dipped off after he went to the Celtics. They're top six right now. Are they that good as they were before?
It's top six in the...
I think of the
in the AP,
AP
yeah.
Right?
In the AP, yeah. So, the reason I ask that is, like, it's amazing how different, this is kind of, again, I think the evaluation of teams, like the AP's got theirs, you know, KenPom has, and they're vastly different. Like, there are some of the same names, but in terms of how they shake out, I mean, I do think, guys, there is a handful of teams, like I would throw Duke, Kansas, I think Michigan State, I think we overreacted to who they were at the beginning of the year. I do like Gonzaga. I saw them twice down at the Battle for Atlantis. I would throw Baylor in that category. Like, I think that grouping of teams, I'm pretty definitive they're in that top 10. I think outside of that, it is really variable. Like, I think, you know, you go back to Florida State, like, they're going to have a really good shot to put their name into that category. West Virginia is a team that it's amazing who they were last year versus who they, I think, have a chance to be this year. A Dayton, like, there may be one of those, you know, a Dayton or a San Diego State, you know, one of those sort of mid-major type teams that I think, because of the landscape, could inject themselves into that top 10. So, you know, we're gonna continue to see it change. I think some of the names that you guys would, you know of and that have kind of been in that top 10 all year, I think they are probably on a level of their own, but they're certainly beatable, and that's just the year that we're having.
Well, Chris, awesome. I know we had a tight window here today. Hope to have you on again. Always enjoy having you on. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris. Great stuff.
Yeah, my pleasure, boys. Be good.
All right, you too.
All right, there you go. A little sampling of some college basketball.
Yeah.
It's not all about football all the time. And we don't wait till March to figure it out. Still a lot of questions. Wish we had more time with them. A lot of stuff we could have talked about.
No, we wait till January.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That's right.
Good move. All right, it is time for Wikipedia, as usual. Pete Shepard.
Yes.
This is the anniversary that the first shots of the Civil War were fired in 1861. So I thought we'd do a little history today. So for you history buffs, any Civil War buffs out there, it's going to be Civil War trivia.
George wanted to be a buff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Costanza.
I just want to be buffed, not a buff.
Uh-huh. I got a buff for Christmas.
For what?
A fishing buff.
What is that?
It's like a something to put around your neck or your face so the sun doesn't get on you.
Like one of those ISIS masks I see people on boats wearing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep the sun off you? That's called a buff?
Yeah.
I actually have one of those somewhere, but I don't really wear it.
Oh, they're great when you go out on the sun.
I didn't know it's called a buff. Interesting. All right, maybe we'll do buff trivia later on. Civil War trivia today. Some Everblades tickets are available. Call the number 9-239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Time for Wikipedia, Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Think you got what it takes to stump the Shep? Shooter shoot. And here's your shot. It's Wikipedia. Brought to you by Moe's Southwest Grill. Moe's caters tailgate parties, retirement, and office parties. We cater any event. Real Southwest delivered. Visit Moe's.com/catering or call 239-384-3387. Welcome to Moe's Catering.
All right, here we go. Caller number 9 is Nick in Estero. Nick, welcome to the program. How are you, sir?
What's up, Nick?
I'm doing well. Formerly Nick and Bonita. It's been a while, guys.
Oh,
now,
okay.
Nick in Estero, moving around. All right, well, thank you for sticking
with
us.
You the Penn State guy?
Big Penn State
That's
guy.
That's it, okay.
Honorable member. Yeah.
There we go.
Right.
All right, are you a Civil War buff of any kind?
At the risk of humiliating myself, I actually used to reenact the Civil War when I was a kid. So,
I'm
a little bit of a buff.
Where did you do that? Where did you used to live?
Well, I'm originally from Pennsylvania, obviously, but I used to do it at Gettysburg, Georgia.
Don't give away any of the answers, maybe. I don't know.
Very good. All right. The reason we're doing Civil War trivia today, because on this day, January 9th, 1861, the first shots of the Civil War were fired. All right, first question for Nick. Nick, who was the president at the start of the Civil War?
At the start of the Civil War was Abraham Lincoln.
There you go, an easy one right off the board. 1-0, Nick. Pete Shepard.
Yes.
Which state was the first to secede from the Union?
To secede or succeed?
Secede.
Succeed.
Succeed.
Leave. Kidding. First to leave.
I was going to call him out on it, so I'm glad you did.
I know.
Rough crowd.
I know, this is tough. South Carolina?
Yes.
Yeah, kind of a guess, but...
Nick, what was the first battle of the Civil War where the very first shots were taken on this day in history?
First Manassas or Bull Run, depending on whether you go with the Union or Confederate interpretation.
That is not correct. Pete Shepard.
I believe it's Fort Sumter, right?
Facts!
Yes!
About that? Bull Run.
Fired...
I said Manassas or Bull Run.
That's not the same as Fort Sumter at Charleston Harbor. I actually have they were fired by Citadel cadets, as a matter of fact. I have a picture of it in my bathroom, as a matter of fact.
Oh, that's...
You're going with the actual first shot.
That was the question.
Yes.
All right.
That's what happened on this day in January.
I don't get a point for that one, but yeah, I get a point for
We're still
one,
tied at one.
Yeah.
Let's see. So this is yours, Pete Shepard.
Yes.
Which Civil War battle was the bloodiest?
Going back here. Wow. Jeez.
I can hear Nick just chomping at the bit, waiting for his chance to steal this from you. Come on.
Jeez.
Come on, Pete Shepard.
Jeez, jeez, jeez.
Think back to your history class in seventh grade.
No, it's on the tip of my tongue. I can't think of it. I got four something. I'm glad I got that one.
I think we're out of time.
The bloodiest.
Nick,
I know.
Your chance to steal the bloodiest war, the bloodiest battle of the Civil War was?
Antietam.
I've got Gettysburg here.
Gettysburg
okay.
is the bloodiest three-day battle. You guys got to be fact-checking here. The single bloodiest thing is Antietam.
Nick, I can't help you. Yeah. I have no backstory here.
I think Nick.
I agree, Nick.
Nick's got too many asterisks on his questions. All right. Next.
This is for Nick.
Nick, this is for you. What was the name of the play that Abraham Lincoln was attending when he was assassinated at Ford's Theater?
Our American Cousin.
Yes! Nicely done.
Very good.
No asterisk needed there.
No, that was stone cold correct. Nick with a 2-1 lead. Pete Shepard.
Yes.
The Confederate States of America had several capitals during the Civil War. Can you name one of them?
Several capitals during the Civil War.
Sounds like they were always on the move.
Yeah.
Why was that?
They were losing.
I got it. I know.
Charleston?
No.
Damn it.
Nick, your chance to steal and for the win, if you can name me just one of the American cities used by the Confederates as their capital during the Civil War.
Richmond,
Virginia.
Yeah. Big winner! Nick, you are a winner!
Big winner!
Good job, my man.
See?
All right. Easy peasy. All right, Nick.
Good job, buddy.
Thanks for listening, as always, and stay on hold. Chris will take care of you, my man.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
I appreciate that.
What else you get?
Let's see here. Who was the president of the Confederacy?
That would be Jefferson Davis.
That would be correct, sir.
Yes.
Where did General Robert E. Lee surrender to General Ulysses S. Grant?
Okay, this I remember. It's that funky name.
Yeah.
Appomattox Courthouse
yes.
of Battle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Was that right?
Yes.
All right.
Very good. What city did General William Tecumseh Sherman, just say Sherman, famously burn down during his march to the sea? What city did he
talk about? William Tecumseh Sherman?
Yeah.
Yeah. General
okay.
Sherman.
Okay.
What city?
Tecumseh.
Where did he burn down on his way out to the sea?
Sounds good.
Jeez.
They made a really big movie about it. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, I'm going with the wind. And,
yes. Yes. What city?
And. Oh, for God's sakes. And
their football team famously underperformed this year.
28-3.
NFC South. Yeah.
That's right. Atlanta.
Yes, it was Atlanta.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. I felt like I had to double check with Nick on all the answers.
Yeah. I feel like Nick was right more than we were right on that.
I don't think so.
By we, I mean you.
I'm pretty proud I got most of those right. I went 4-3.
I think we all acquitted ourselves very well on that.
Oh, I had no clue on any of them.
Well, you skipped those classes because you were too busy.
I didn't skip them.
You were too busy getting kicked out of class saying words you shouldn't say, and you can't say on the radio either.
Done it both.
All right, Rick Haro, our sports business guru, coming up the 5 o'clock hour. I'm sure I'll have a hot take or two. All that on the way.
Awesome.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.